Mate, you know what they do? They turn up with one representative, and they represent all the different disciplines, and say, well, we've got to resolve this issue, and they're like, oh, I actually can't answer the question because I'm not qualified in that area. I'm like, well, you're here because we signed you up to do that bit.
It's kind of counterintuitive, that's what happens.
That's right.
You just end up being less organisation, less attention.
So we make a point of separating out each discipline, everything separate, for that reason, because it's happened to you as well.
You think about the staff to do it, it's like, well, when you actually need to know that stuff, because otherwise you get all this stuff and the same is the member of you, and you can package it in, you don't find it.
Common misconception. Myself shops will like you. I think some you can package up and this is the best.
Yeah, make it work. BCA fire, BCA access. we can announce our decision. Before putting the formal decision up on the screen for you to read, I shall say overall that the panel is not prepared to recommend the proponent's planning proposal for reasons which will become apparent. We are prepared to recommend the council's planning proposal with amendments which will also become apparent. In relation to the floor space ratio of 1.5 to 1, I'd just like to ask the council why they've nominated 1.5 to 1.
So, Scott, in relation to your commentary about the arbitrariness of the 1.5 to 1, there's actually two facets to the background of that, which will demonstrate that it's not arbitrary as such. First of all, Council's urban designers did a full assessment of the urban design and tested various other ideas that they had, and that's explained at various points throughout the assessment reports. And secondly, there has been a tradition in the Leichhardt LGA with similar sites of having 1.5 to 1, so we've got that practice that we can rely on as well. So it was both reasons that we came up with the 1.5 to 1.
Well then, in adopting the recommendation to go with the council's planning proposal, we are prepared to stick with the floor space ratio of 1.5 to 1 for the reasons just mentioned. In particular, because it's a standard that's been applied for similar developments elsewhere within the council's area. We take on board your comments about acid sulphate soil study. We do not require that. And we take on board your comment about the detailed site investigation. We don't require that either. So I can now formally announce that the determination of the panel is as now appears on the screen. If you can make it so that we can read it, that'd be good. So we do not recommend the proponent's planning proposal for these various reasons, and I'll give you a chance to read them because these are the reasons why we don't go with yours and go with the council's. All right, and then next we... it's been pointed out that there's a typo here. In the final ground, lack of information on acoustic impacts, water cycle management on the site, omit land contamination. Omit land contamination. That does not form a ground. So then we go on to item number two. We endorse the council's planning proposal. You'll see in paragraph A, we've stuck with 1.5 to 1. And go down to D. This refers to the specific clause to part six, and I'll give you a chance to read that. Can you scroll, please? All right, you understand that? Keep scrolling. Please. Okay, you understand that?
Yes.
Then paragraph three, we have omitted the reference to acid sulfate soils and detailed site investigation. And the rest of it is as per the recommendation in the assessment report.
Mr. Chairman, do we are we happy with in four of using? Are we happy in four of leaving the word proponent?
Oh yes.
Is that clear?
You're not the proponent, are you?
I think the council is now the proponent.
In paragraph four, well, the council's the proponent.
I think for the purposes of this resolution, we use proponent up the top. It's okay to keep proponent there.
Yeah, and the
okay.
Proponent
if you're happy with,
does the
if you're happy with that,
not council.
Yeah, I think leave.
You happy with that?
You're site owner.
You understand what's required?
Yes.
All right.
It's you.
Okay. Keep scrolling, and I think that's it. Anything else, panel?
No.
All right. That's the determination.
Thank you
for your attendance.
Thank you.
I've had my say. I won't.
All right, we can now move on to the numbers 1 to 5, Chester Street, Annandale. I note we have two speakers registered to speak, Mr. File and Mr. Sachari. Please come forward. Right, proceed.
Okay. Usually don't have that much trouble being heard. Thank you for the opportunity to present to your panel. My name's Michael File and I'm the planning consultant representing my client, Brittley Property. I guess if I could just start by stating that my client has been talking to the council about development on this site since April 2017. And the proposal has been through a few iterations and through that process, I guess there's been an attempt to get some understanding of council's strategic direction for the site and the area, and to put forward a proposal that's consistent with that, but still achieves a feasible outcome for my client. So, while the council officer's report doesn't support our planning proposal, it does, in part seven, suggest an alternate proposal which. I guess we'd developed a proposal that we felt was drawing on the Parramatta Road strategy, but also the recent direction with the Greater Sydney Commission, the plans for the Camperdown Ultimo, the health and education area, and that represents the future strategic direction of council. And I think, I guess we welcome the fact that council has put forward that alternate recommendation in part seven. Even though it's not consistent with what we felt the site could contain and was a good outcome. So I guess I'll just step through briefly. I guess our proposal and both council's recommended alternate proposal would result in the site's currently got 300 square metres of employment on it. The Parramatta Road strategy said it was purely residential under that strategy. Our proposal would result in three times the as-built floor space. Up to 975-980 square metres, so a much more significant employment outcome that's already possible on the site, but as the panel are no doubt aware, most industrial sites aren't built to the maximum FSR given the need for hard stand area and the like. So, but the proposal also provides for student and affordable accommodation, which is a key outcome from both the Parramatta Road strategy of 2016, but also the recent Eastern City District plan, the Camperdown Ultimo Place strategy, and Council's local housing strategy all talk about the need for affordable accommodation. So I guess to sum that up a little bit, we are drawing from the Parramatta Road strategy. We feel this proposal is more consistent with the future objectives of the district plan and the collaboration area and council's upcoming local strategic planning statement. I guess probably the most recent plan that's come out for the area, the Camperdown Ultimo Place strategy, came out in February of this year, and I might just read a short quote from there. It talks about the challenges of the area being the availability of employment land and affordable spaces for innovation, research, creative industries, artists and collaborative projects, which I guess our proposal is directly geared towards providing 975 square metres of that. But it also talks about the lack of affordable housing for community, students, key and creative workers, and limited short-term accommodation for academics and health visitors, obviously drawing on the other major uses in there being the hospital and the universities and, you know, all those other uses that are in the location. So I feel that we are in agreement with council on the strategic merit of the proposal. While we do have a difference of opinion with regard to the FSR that can be accommodated on the site, obviously the uses that we're proposing are not required to be compliant with the apartment design guideline. So, you know, it is possible to fit a little more on the site than was probably anticipated in a purely residential outcome. And that's where I guess our built form analysis had come up with a slightly higher FSR, but we accept that council have done an expert review engaging Architectus, and they've come up with a view that 2-1 is possible on the site, which I guess the non-residential component I've talked about, the 0.75, but the remaining FSR, the 1.25, would be it's less than what was envisaged as a residential outcome under the Parramatta Road strategy, but it's probably something my client can live with. I guess the part of council's recommendation that we would appreciate being changed, or I guess that we aren't supportive of, is that the proposal be amended, pay another fee for amendment of plans, and then wait till sometime in the future when a traffic study and all this other further work's done. I guess what we've talked about with the strategic context is uses and needs in the area today. You know, the need for student housing is clearly established. I think the need for employment uses that fit the emerging character of the area, you know, that happens today. We're not proposing any car parking as part of the student or affordable accommodation, and the existing 0.75-1 is permissible under the current zoning. So we're not seeing that. We also have a traffic study that says even at 2.75, there's not an unacceptable traffic impact. So if we can say that we're agreed on the strategic merit of what's proposed, we have an understanding that council and their expert review have said that 2-1 is possible on this site and in the existing the proposed 17 metre height limit, and we're not proposing any additional traffic impact. We're of the view that there's enough information, and we've been through enough of a process with council that the proposal can proceed to Gateway on that basis. And I guess the only other thing I haven't mentioned is council expresses a preference for the B7 zone rather than the current industrial zone, which it doesn't change the use mix that we've just talked about, that's generally agreed, but I understand the B7 zone's been used for a mix of live-work accommodation elsewhere in Marrickville, for example. So I guess we're somewhat agnostic on the change in zoning, and it doesn't really affect the proposal. But I guess we're just very reluctant to go through additional processes, given that my client's already paid over $122,000 in fees, including a significant amendment fee. So to submit the revised plans following the last council panel consideration, there's an additional $50,000 for another set of plans. I mean, this is quite a small, it's a 1,300 square metre site, and we have agreement on the strategic context. So I guess we're very much of the view that there's enough information. I mean, we're only seeking a planning proposal or an LEP amendment here. So, I mean, what we get out of this at the end of the process is a zone, a height and an FSR. And I think we seem to be generally agreed on those things. So we're very much of the view that the proposal should be able to proceed to Gateway now. And I guess I'd like to finish just with a short quote from the guide to preparing a planning proposal, which says that a planning proposal which is submitted for a gateway determination must provide enough information to determine whether there is merit in the proposed amendment proceeding to the next stage of the plan making process. The level of detail required should be proportionate to the complexity of the proposed amendment. A planning proposal relates only to an LEP amendment, it is not a development application, nor does it consider specific detailed matters that should form part of a development application. It should contain enough information to identify relevant issues, I paraphrase, and the scope for investigating any key issues should be identified to be considered as part of the gateway determination as further matters. So I guess, in summary, we would submit that the planning proposal as recommended by Council in Part 7 should be submitted to Gateway, and that any required further information should be provided as part of suggested Gateway conditions. The only other thing I have to add is with regards to a site-specific DCP, which is recommended, the Leichhardt LEP recommends that DCPs be prepared for sites over 3,000 square metres. This site's 1,300. We have, however, in the past submitted a draft DCP in good faith because Council wanted to see that level of detail, but I guess I would question the need for a site-specific DCP for this size site, seeing it's not required under the LEP, but I guess if it was required, that could be conditional on the gateway determination as well, if there was a view that that was required. So, yeah, that was pretty much all I had to say. Thank you.
Stay there. We may have some questions for you, and we'll hear from Mr. Zachary.
I think Michael covered the good majority of the issues that we had with the recommendation Council has made. I think all that I'll have to add to that is that it's abundantly clear now what the agreed strategic and site-specific merits of the proposal are, and that Council and us seem to be in agreement now on what that is. So it's difficult for us to, I guess, continue spending time and money after a year and a half process with Council on a proposal or a further amended proposal if we now have an agreement on what that is. So for us, it's really about deleting items 1 and 3 of Council's recommendation and leaving the other items in as they're written. Thank you.
I'll just ask the Council a question. You heard Mr. Farr's comments about a liability for further fees if it were, for example, to resubmit the proposal in accordance with the Council's alternative proposal. Will the applicant be up for more fees?
Through the Chair, the original proposal was submitted under the 2017-18 fees and charges, which had a Stage 1, Stage 2 scenario fee. The Stage 2 fee would be charged if it went to Gateway. So that fee would be charged even if there was no amendment to the proposal at this stage.
That's for after Gateway, Daniel.
Oh, is it post?
Sorry, guys. We are comfortable with paying a fee at Gateway level.
Yeah.
That's not what we're discussing at the moment.
I understand that there might be a further fee if the proponent were to adopt the council's suggested planning proposal.
So there is a difference between, of course, the 2017 fees and the 2019 fees, which we will be requiring the proponent to pay. So it's a smaller figure. It's not the full figure. It's about $10,000.
What I was referring to, my reading of the Council's report was it was suggesting that it not proceed. Following this, we pay another $50,000 to put some amended plans in and then come back to the panel. And then, if it's a fee to go Gateway or post Gateway, I mean, and we're happy to support Council as required with further information post Gateway, of course. But that was my only point, is that we really just wanted to go to Gateway now, and if that involves a fee, so be it, but we just didn't want to go backwards to the previous stage.
That's part eight of the report, financial implications. The end of the first paragraph, it talks about the proponent would also have to cover any difference between council's current fees, which is 19.20, and the difference of those.
I guess where it talks about resubmitted plans and stuff like that, that's where. Well, if that's council's submission, is that we would only pay a fee for post-Gateway moving forward,
yeah.
I think we're probably in heated agreement on that issue, you know?
I don't think they're talking about post-Gateway. I think they're talking about the recommendation as it currently stands. They're not supporting the form of planning proposal that you've put in.
Yep.
They have given principles for a new planning proposal to be prepared. They haven't prepared an alternate planning proposal as they did with the previous item one that we dealt with today, where they'd actually gone and prepared an alternate planning proposal. So someone has to prepare an updated planning proposal that would be consistent with the principles that council, if we accept council's recommendation, that it would be consistent with those. So it's not just a matter of the current one going off to the department for Gateway with a different FSR in it and a different land use in it. There has to be an actual planning proposal that would be submitted to the department with, you know, the rationale for the B7 zone, the FSR of 2-to-1. And I think all that documentation's there. It's just a matter of it being pulled together. And there are other things that, unlike the previous one that we dealt with, you've got the whole Parramatta Road situation where you're an out-of-sequence proposal, and at the moment that out-of-sequence isn't being supported. So there has to be a rationale as to why it would be supported with the amendments that council's put forward. Why would council or the planning panel support an out-of-sequence proposal? So there is a bit of work that I think still needs to be done to pull all that information, which largely is there. The only thing that's not there is probably the wider traffic study that's being done.
So just to clarify, what is that? So that's a fee for council to amalgamate this documentation into submitting it to Gateway?
I think you would be doing the amalgamation, and what was being said is that you'd pay the difference between the 18-19 fees and the 19-20 fees, which would be $10,000. But you wouldn't be, as I understand what's being said, you wouldn't be required to pay a new fee for an amendment, that it would be part of your old amendment fee.
Mm.
I mean, I don't, you know, perhaps you can have conversations with council as to why.
I guess the biggest issue we have with that proposed process is that it wasn't a process to put it to Gateway. It was a process to amend a proposal, and then maybe at some uncertain point in the future when all these other things have been clarified that really only loosely relate to the proposal as it stands, there wasn't a lot of certainty in that process. Whereas if there was assistance or a fee paid to get a Gateway determination, I think that's something that we could accept. If it's another round of amendments and providing supporting information to which we, like when we seem to have agreed on the height, the FSR and the zone, I just couldn't necessarily see the utility in that. It's felt like going backwards, I guess. So,
And I guess it points to the relevance of some of the items which are being requested for to be updated in order to further assess the proposal. So we said at the beginning of Michael's discussion that whilst the proposal sits within the Parramatta Road strategy, it doesn't rely solely on that strategy. It's probably more heavily weighted towards the Greater Sydney Commission Eastern City District Plan, and also importantly the Camperdown and Ultimo Health and Education collaboration area. So those strategies we think are more heavily weighted now to this specific proposal, given the fact that it's no longer really a Parramatta Road strategy proposal. It's now being supported as a B7 zoning. It's providing an employment floor space to service the health and education sector, and it's increasing the supply of affordable student accommodation, given the site's proximity close to Sydney University, 700 metres away. So it's a completely, with the amendments and the iterations that have happened over time, it's no longer a Parramatta Road strategy. So things like a precinct-wide traffic study, it's questionable whether that would be required at all, given the fact that there are zero cars being provided in addition to the existing cars on the site. Because it's student accommodation, there's no need for any further cars. So there's zero impact on the existing traffic infrastructure. We have a traffic and transport report which supports the use and the existing transport infrastructure for servicing the proposal. So there's no real need for a precinct-wide traffic study for this specific proposal. Similarly, the outer sequence checklist has become less and less relevant. It's not strictly trying to comply with the Parramatta Road strategy anymore. So things like the outer sequence checklist and trying to abide by it, we believe aren't really as relevant as they used to be. So, and things like infrastructure contributions, we'll just make the statement, and it sort of goes back to additional studies and additional fees being paid and all the... I mean, we've spent $470,000 on consultants plus $120,000 in fees for a proposal that has a construction value of $12 million. You know, so it's sort of... The more that we... It sort of goes against the intent of providing an affordable student accommodation building. The more costs that we load onto the project, the less affordable it will become at the back end. So for us, we think that the information that we have at hand at the moment is more than sufficient to support the proposal going to Gateway. I think that's the essence of what we're saying. Thank you.
But just so I understand, so you are generally supportive of the B7 and you don't like the 2-to-1, but you can live with it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I guess our position is that we feel that we've reached some common ground on the strategic intent, being the height, the FSR, and that the architect's proposal provides adequate evidence that FSR can be achieved on the site, and also with the zone. As far as the impacts or the site-specific merit of the proposal, that we feel that our proposal demonstrates that those impacts can be managed for a much larger development. So at the reduced FSR of 2-to-1, we're quite comfortable that evidence has been provided. And also, as Alex has just mentioned, I mean, the non-residential component, the 0.75, could happen today, you know, like it's already zoned for that purpose. But the student accommodation / affordable accommodation is not proposed to have any car parking. So given council's concern about precedent and all the stuff that goes with the Parramatta Road corridor, which is, you know, right, the council rightly points out, is very difficult and doesn't seem to have helped the Parramatta Road area very much at all. But if there's a precedent concern, this precedent would be having no car parking. So I think that's probably a precedent that probably everyone could live with. But
all right, but in terms of the concept that is supporting this latest version, the B7, it's based on the architect's peer review.
Yeah.
So it looks at actually changing the orient as a concept, as a site-specific concept. Yep. Looks at having buildings along Chester Street and then along the south of the site and having a open space area, private open space, but linking to the public open space of...
Yeah, I think that concept, it probably wasn't given the benefit of all the site survey and information that my client has, but like in principle, we'd be happy to move forward on that basis. Of course, post-Gateway, we would seek to respond to that and I guess bring to it the benefit of the site analysis that we've done. But you know, I guess what we're saying is that we're...
And the answer is yes. Yeah. The architect's scheme is fine. The main reason that the main variance between the architect's scheme and our scheme is that the architect's scheme does not factor in the natural ground level, which the RLs, which are supported by the survey, which we prepared for the site. And inside the architect's scheme, it actually says that. It says that they have not relied on survey information. So they've just interpolated what the natural ground level would be from desktop information. They've ignored the survey on the site. So our proposal is within the 17 metre height limit, and their proposal is within the 17 metre height limit. There's no variance there.
There are issues of detail that we could work out with council through the process, I think, is where we, is where we got to with that. Yeah.
I've got a question of council officers. In the same way as you you prepared an alternative planning proposal for item one on this agenda, would council be prepared to prepare a planning proposal for this based on the allegedly agreed situation?
I think we saw this as a collaboration with the proponent where we'd work together to amend the current planning proposal to reflect council's principles. Yes. Yeah. And that's even though the council has prepared planning proposals for other sites in the past that have amended the proponent's original planning proposal, often that is done in collaboration with the proponent. The proponent puts something in, we tweak it, we discuss it, we tweak it again, and that's where we're heading here, I think.
But there would be an additional fee for this.
Only the difference between the different years in which things were submitted, so it's the $10,000.
Thank you.
It's the same proposal essentially, and not actually coming back as amendment. I don't know. I mean, that's between, we can't get involved in fees.
There's one or two other aspects like the out-of-sequence checklist where we would need some additional information, but we can work through that with the proponent.
You ready? Ready? All right. We have come to a decision which is unanimous. We note the proponent's willingness to adopt the council's suggested alternative proposal, which means that we will formally decline to recommend the proponent's planning proposal, which we will simply not recommend, and you will then have the opportunity to come back with a further planning proposal which is in line with what the council has suggested, and it seems to us that that is the appropriate way to go here. So the formal determination is as now appears on the screen.
Yep.
Okay. We do not support the planning proposal, that's your planning proposal, for the various reasons set out. And we do not support it going to Gateway. We do generally support the following principles for revising the planning proposal, and these are the principles set out in what the council has suggested. And I'll just give you a chance to read through them. These are all the council's suggested planning proposals, which use your proposal as a basis. And it will mean that you could put your planning proposal in. You don't have to wait for a traffic study. That can be done whilst the planning proposal, if it receives gateway approval, whilst it's being exhibited, that can be continued. And by the time that process is finished, the planning, the overall traffic study will probably be ready. So this will at least move it on.
When you say that you generally support revising the planning proposal, does that mean that you're recommending that the planning proposal, according to council's suggested parameters and these conditions, proceed to gateway? So
no, we're not doing that. It has to be, it's a new proposal.
So we'd have to come back to the local panel and...
With a new proposal, yes.
Okay, even though we know exactly what
this... line suggested.
Even though we know exactly what it is already.
That's the way we've decided is the appropriate
okay.
way to go.
No, I just wanted, for the sake of clarity, just to understand where we stand. So it's basically revised and start the process again. Okay.
Well, it's amended what you put in accordance with our principles.
Okay.
So that's the determination. The planning proposal, your planning proposal, is not supported and it should not go to Gateway. However, you can come back with another proposal which is consistent with what is set out in that determination.
Just to clarify that process, we talked a lot about amendments and fees. So what's the clarity on that process?
It's a clear-cut process.
Yep, yeah. Which is?
Which is... This proposal is rejected.
Hmm.
New proposal.
Start again.
Is acceptable if it complies with these parameters.
So is that what you're saying? Start again. We go and prepare a brand new submission?
No. You just amend it. For example, if we use the example of Lonsdale Street, it's an amended planning proposal that reflects the one that you've already put in but follows the council's principles.
Okay.
And updates one or two things.
Similar to the process we just went through, where we amended the original proposal, come up with this amended proposal. It's a second amendment to the proposal.
Yes, but it shouldn't be as onerous as what you've just done for yourself.
Okay. Thank you.